It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The City Police Department has faced many challenges lately. They range from the resignation of former Police Chief Nate Harper to debate over officers having to live within city limits. The latest issue is a recent report criticizing city policies regarding police working side jobs. The author of that report is former Washington County District Attorney Steve Toprani. His report was made public nearly a year after it was announced he would be hired to perform a top-to-bottom review of existing Pittsburgh police outside employment policies and best practices nationally. He joins us now by phone. Steve Toprani, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me on. Good afternoon.
And joining us in studio are the reporters who wrote the story for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jonathan Silver and Liz Navratil. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
Steve Toprani, what did you find in your review that we should be concerned about?
Well, as a principal matter, the lack of guiding policies in this instance is, I think, what was most shocking. The stories, the examples that were alluded to in the report, as well as those have been published in the media, I think are somewhat secondary. At the time this report was conducted, the city of Pittsburgh had virtually no policies, regulations concerning the management of outside employment by bureau officers. To me, it was frankly shocking.
You did not allege in your report, according to what we read in the Post-Gazette, that any of the businesses themselves were crooked. So why then is this problematic?
It's problematic for several reasons. It was illustrated really by the management role that the Chief Harper played in his private business. And Pennsylvania law makes clear that police officers should not be engaged in the ownership of private detective type businesses. And that's really what this report focused on. Was the city, was the mayor and council concerned about police officers having sideline businesses that involved pizza shops or plumbing repair? Of course they weren't. But in this type of instance, when police officers can use tactics, equipment, confidential means, records, data, to assist in the conduct of a private industry, there's a real potential for a conflict of interest to exist. Our courts have addressed it. Pennsylvania law has addressed it. And the answer is clear, that the active police officer should not be engaged in that type of conduct.
How many officers are involved in outside employment?
Well, that's a good question. Anecdotally, during the course of this review, a number of instances were brought to my attention. Several more were even reported in the media and made available publicly. So I think this is a rampant problem within the department. It's not. But if there are even a few officers operating outside this area, it poses the same risk of harm. And that's what we've hoped to ameliorate by putting forward what I feel are very common sense recommendations that could be implemented to change the way the city police does business.
What were Nate Harper's shortcomings in terms of handling this, as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think he had an opportunity to provide a leadership role, to meet with city leaders and to tell them that this type of activity is not supported by the law. Unfortunately, that was the very conduct that the chief was engaged in, as has been well documented. So despite being in a position where he could provide leadership, he actually showed to be a poor example for the police department. And, you know, some could argue that would encourage other officers to follow the same type of pursuits.
Liz Navratil, Jonathan Silver, looking back to the events that began unfolding about a year ago, what happened when the role of former Police Chief Harper and others in outside employment became public?
Well, we talked at that point both to former Mayor Luke Ravenstahl and Public Safety Director Mike Huss, and they were both unaware of Nate Harper's involvement with his subordinates at the time in this private security corporation, Diverse Public Safety Consultants. Similarly, they were unaware that one of the individuals with whom Nate Harper was in business, Eric Holmes, who is a current police commander, had been at the time he was a sergeant, also a full-time director of public safety at Slippery Rock University. They were basically caught completely unawares that two high-ranking – well, Nate Harper being the highest ranking officer in the department, of course, and then a sergeant who was later promoted to commander, were involved in outside employment that had to do with private security or police work, and they were not very happy about that revelation.
Liz, you in your story quoted Mr. Harper's attorneys. What did they have to say?
Mr. Harper's attorneys have said throughout this whole thing that the company that he formed with his subordinates, Diverse Public Safety Consultants, was meant to be sort of a vehicle for his retirement, a way to make money after he left the Bureau. And they've maintained throughout that he did not, you know, make money from this, had not brought in any profit from the company. It was just sort of supposed to be a wait and see, have this around for retirement kind of venture. So they're maintaining that because he didn't bring in money throughout his time as police chief, that he didn't necessarily need to alert the city to the existence of this company.
Steve Toprani, what is your take on that?
Well, I find that interesting. It ultimately goes back to the ultimate issue here, which is the policies did not require disclosure for sideline businesses. And frankly, had a policy been in place such as the one suggested in my report that had been utilized in other cities, Los Angeles, Boston, Cincinnati, and others, well, frankly, it wouldn't be of any importance because the chief would not be permitted to engage in that type of activity, to even establish it prior to his retirement. So the fact that he may or may not have participated in a material way while he's working for the police department, that's a question for other agencies. But ultimately, Pittsburgh should have, and my hope is will have, policy that expressly prohibits that type of conduct.
Incidentally, if I can just throw one thing out, there's an overarching issue here. And I think it goes to the formation of the climate that allowed a formation of this company without disclosure to superiors in City Hall. And it's along the same lines as what happened with the federal investigation that ultimately led to the indictment of Nate Harper specifically the criminal conspiracy count, which had to do with a diversion of public monies that had flowed into the police bureau into a secret account. And this all goes back to the idea of oversight. Was there proper oversight of this money that was flowing into the police bureau from private employers paying for security? Was there proper oversight of police officers who were forming private companies? In short, the question is, who is minding the store, or who should have been minding the store?
And Jonathan and or Liz, that is still under investigation. And
as our colleague Rich Lord has reported just about 30 minutes ago, U.S. Attorney David Hickton has confirmed that there is still an ongoing federal investigation of these issues. So, yeah, that's still very much alive.
And this is involving the mayor and others?
We can the closest we can get is, you know, looking at who's appeared before the grand jury. We've obviously seen many people close to the mayor. The former mayor, true. Former mayor Luke Ravenstahl. We've also seen, you know, people associated with the police bureau. You know, had the acting police chief and deputy chief not too long ago. We still have these people who supposedly conspired with Nate Harper, who we haven't heard the latest on their status.
And those are unnamed co-conspirators at this point.
So where do you see this leading?
Well, that's a crystal ball kind of question. I wish we had the answer. The federal system, grand jury system at least, and this is an investigating grand jury, is notoriously secret, although I think it's fair to say that this is one of the least secret grand jury investigations that has occurred in western Pennsylvania, at least in recent memory, giving a little plug to the Post-Gazette for keeping on top of this, but and other media as well in town. I don't really know. I mean, if you recall with former Mayor Tom Murphy, who had been under investigation by the previous U.S. Attorney Mary Beth Buchanan, for issues related to quid pro quos for the election, nothing really ever came of that. Mayor Murphy was certainly never indicted, charged, anything like that. And his defense attorney at the time was none other than David Hickton. So David Hickton has, played both sides of the fence. He understands very well, as a defense attorney representing a high-profile public official under scrutiny, how things work from that end of things. Well, now sort of the shoe is on the other foot, and he's the one that's leading an inquiry into dealings of the former Ravenstahl administration. Where that's going to go, I really couldn't even begin to venture, but we're going to keep tabs on it.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're discussing release of a report criticizing city policies regarding police working side jobs. Our guests include the author of the report, former Washington County District Attorney Steve Ciprani, and Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporters Liz Navratil and Jonathan Silver. Steve, do existing policies properly address this problem? And if not, what should Pittsburgh do to fix this problem? What steps are you recommending?
Well, it's in a state of transition, obviously. With the change of administrations, I'm optimistic that Mayor Peduto will pick up the mantle and continue to implement reforms. Now, I do know from conversations with Mayor Ravenstahl's office, as well as Public Safety Director Huss, Acting Chief Donaldson, that several of these reforms that were suggested in the report were starting to be addressed. The problem was, and it's really hard to compartmentalize the two themes of where Pittsburgh's Police Bureau really requires reform. And Jonathan spoke to the first issue, which is one that I didn't address in the report, which was the secondary employment details. That was certainly a very pressing need for reform. I'm glad the reforms are underway there, but
Just to interject in case people miss it, the City Council has passed a bill to outsource secondary employment of police officers. So this seems to be the first step in that process, Liz.
It's interesting trying to separate the two. I think what you're referring to is going to talk specifically about officer moonlighting. You know, we're working at bars after hours, or we're working at traffic stops, those sorts of things. All of that is going to be coordinated in some essence through the Bureau, and that you're still going to have Pittsburgh police officers working that.
In uniform, incidentally, and with full police powers, of course.
But doesn't that issue relate to the culture of abuse that we're talking about here?
It depends on who you ask. There are always rumors floating around while we're, you know, in the middle of these investigations as to what the feds are looking at. And I don't think we've seen any evidence that they are definitely looking at the secondary employment. I think part of the reason that came up is because of how the conspiracy played out, according to the feds. And they have said that the money that was being diverted from the Bureau came from checks that were meant to pay for these officers who were moonlighting. So one of the big things that came out of this was sort of a call for removing the oversight of that money from the police Bureau up to City Hall. So you would have another layer of checks and balances. What they're doing now is they also have this cover your assets system that is supposed to be another outside layer, kind of monitoring, you know, these checks are coming in. Here's the request for officers. Do they line up? So on and so forth.
Sure. Steve Ciprani, I want to go back to what you were saying. I mean, you outlined a whole list of a list of recommendations that you made for how the city of Pittsburgh can just make this whole situation a little more transparent, and I'm curious what you found out about what other cities are doing that Pittsburgh can learn from.
Well, some of the suggestions are probably more than we have the limited time to discuss at this point, but frankly, there has to be an effective way to monitor and supervise outside employment, outside conduct by police officers. Secondarily, I feel that the report suggests that because of the issues that arise, particularly in the provision of private detective-type work. And your listeners may be curious to know what that encompasses. Pennsylvania has an archaic law that was passed in 1953. To my knowledge, it was amended once, that deals with the provision of private security-related functions. And any type of security provision or investigation falls under the Act. So the city should curtail its officers from having ownership interests in those type of businesses. Because when that occurs, not only is there the potential, as Liz described, to misuse funds and to misuse property, procedures, and equipment, but also there's the ability of police officers to go out and solicit work for private gain. And frankly, if anybody's encountered a police officer, that puts all parties involved in a potential situation that could be uncomfortable. So we don't want officers going out soliciting for private work. We don't want them operating in a silo where there's no oversight. And frankly, the city should just use policies that are streamlined, and I suggested many from other cities that they could look to as examples to adopt an appropriate code of ethics that prohibits officers from engaging in this conduct.
Jonathan and Liz, we have a new mayor, Bill Peduto, just sworn in this week. How has his administration reacted to this report?
Well, Mayor Peduto's administration has certainly indicated that they are ready, willing, and eager to look at a policy review going forward. They haven't laid out anything specific as far as what they want to do, whether they're going to take as doctrine Steve's suggestions in his report. But they have certainly indicated a willingness to take a look at this stuff. And what I was going to say about that is, as Steve had alluded to, clearly it's a new day, a new administration with Bill Peduto up at the Grand Street office in City Hall. And a lot of it is going to come down to the will of him and his administration about how they want to clarify these policies, how they want to work on this going forward. But there's a couple of wild cards in there. Of course, one of the wild cards is going to be who will be named public safety director and police chief in Pittsburgh, because I'm sure a lot of the shape of the bureau is going to depend on the person leading both public safety and the bureau. The second thing is the union, the Fraternal Order of Police. And we have yet to find out what Mike LaPorte, who is the president of the FOP, thinks about this. But, you know, this is a very old state climate in terms of the union in Pittsburgh. I mean, this is the way business has been done for a very, very, very long time. Change is difficult for anyone. And so I think it remains to be seen how cooperative the union is going to be with any kind of changes in policy such as this, or whether they're going to try to fight it.
And Liz, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what's interesting, too, is occasionally you might see the courts weighing in on different aspects of this. Mr. Taprani mentioned sort of the Private Detective Act and whether officers could work as, you know, private detectives or investigators. And what we've seen is some sort of challenge as to what the definition of that is. We know at least one officer who went in common pleas court, and one of the judges up there said, if you are just merely interpreting facts or scenarios or reports that have been given to you, you would be fine, you know, having a business giving expert testimony in court, for example. But if you're going out and providing your own new information, then that might cross this line where you need a private detective license. So we have a couple of things in play. We have, you know, obviously the new administration, but we also have the courts and state law.
So just to end this on a note about where this might lead in the future, what do you see the city of Pittsburgh doing to address this?
I think it's anybody's guess at this point.
Yeah, we're
call,
you know,
Mayor
we'll
Peduto?
Just, right. We'll have to, I mean, he's obviously Mayor Peduto's got his priority list, and we have no idea where this issue falls. I think that with the scandal of the past year involving the police department, it is inconceivable that it won't be addressed on some level. But when and specifically what, that remains to be seen.
I want to thank our guests, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporters Liz Navratil and Jonathan Silver, also former Washington County District Attorney Steve Taprani, joining us by phone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much, Paul. Enjoyed it.
Still to come, travel contributor Elaine LaBalme takes us to Montreal. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.